Welcome to Alt Universe Top 40. My name is John McMullen. For the next hour, we will listen to some records, talk about chart positions, and make some good-hearted adjustments that time and taste demand. On today's installment, we will hear a bouncy selection from the early disco era by a British female vocalist who almost passed up the chance to cash in on her first big hit. For our little slice of heaven at number 7, we will hear a classic recording from the late Fred Foster's Monument Records label in Nashville. Even if you have never heard this particular single, you have certainly heard the musicians who backed the vocalist on this record, most likely on the very next single that Monument released. Later, we will examine a progressive modern rock track from the 80s, which featured 5 guitarists on the same single. Finally, for our Hall of Perfection track, we will present a grunge anthem by Nirvana that we mentioned last week, a song that was the 3rd most played song of its decade, according to the Nielsen Radio rating system. But first, just as we do each week, we break out of the gate with a song that, at some point, was perched at number 40. Some of these were on the way up, some were on the way down. Some hit number 40 for a 1-week peak and then made it to the border. What kind of number 40 do we have today? Well, we gallop off with the debut hit by an artist that seemed to come out of nowhere back in 1980. While nobody had heard of the artist who released this single at first, rock fans were familiar with the voice of the prominent background vocalist Michael McDonald of the Doobie Brothers. Ultimately, the album that contained this hit single won an Album of the Year Grammy and became one of the most influential soft rock albums of all time.
Thank you.
spending a week at number 40 on its way up to number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100 and number 3 in Canada. That was Austin, Texas native Christopher Cross and his debut single for Warner Brothers, Ride Like the Wind.
Universe Top 40.
At number 20, we have a selection from an album that was credited to the Scottish modern rock act Aztec Camera and released on the Rough Trade label in England. In the United States, it was distributed by a label we have mentioned several times, Seymour Stein's Sire Records. Aztec Camera consisted of songwriter Roddy Frame on guitar and vocals, Campbell Owens on bass, Bernie Clark on organ and keyboards, and Dave Ruffy on drums. While the album produced a British Top 20 single in the song Oblivious, a selection that we may very well play at some point in the future, today we are focusing on an album track that received airplay from underground stations such as WQNR Auburn, Alabama, and WEVL in Memphis.
Walk out to winter, swear I'll be there. Chill will wake you high and dry, you wonder why. Met in the summer and walked in the fall. The brothers we talked in the tongue. Despite what they'll say, it wasn't you. We hit the truth. The faces were strung up, fell from the wall. But nothing was left where they hung. So sweet and bitter, the one we found. So drink them down and walk out.
Album titled High Land, Hard Rain, that was Aztec Camera from Glasgow, and Walk Out to Winter.
This one went to 11.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. Now we are up to the huge hit by the British pop singer that was taking a break from live performing by singing recording sessions under a pseudonym at night after she had gotten her newborn baby to sleep. Once the studio's demo producer became familiar with this vocalist's strong delivery, he asked a co-writer to help put a Motown-like song together for her as a lead singer. Not knowing the producer's plan, she almost settled for $45 as a one-time session compensation and had to be persuaded by the production company to actually file the forms in her real name to receive royalties as the primary artist. Number 11 in Cashbox with her Life Changer that hit number 8 in England and number 2 in the United States. That was Maxine Nightingale and that bouncy signature single that was picked up by United Artists Records within 2 weeks of being recorded, right back where we started from. At number 10, we have an album track by a rock act that at first was rumored to have been the Beatles secretly reunited and recording under another name. While I never thought they sounded like the Beatles, I can remember hearing this selection for the first time and mistakenly believing that it was that other four-man group on the Apple label, Badfinger. Give it a listen and see if you know who it is.
Hello, sweet Joan. So glad you're home. Just called to say goodbye. I'm leaving town. I'm bent and bound. Don't try to change my mind. You ask me why I'm leaving, but we both know the reason. You're knee-deep in love. Yes, it's over and done for us, you and me. You're knee-deep in love. Isn't it strange how people change and slowly drift apart? Like you and me, it had to be. I've known it from the start. You're trying not to show.
with a song that never made the top 40 but should have at the very least reached number 10 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World. That was the Canadian rock act Clay 2 and Knee Deep in Love. 40 years ago, I sure thought it was a Badfinger song that had slipped through the cracks.
Number nine.
At number nine, we have the biggest single by the three-man rock act from Ann Arbor, Michigan, that was signed to the Big Tree label, Brownsville Station. Starting as a bar band that played sloppy cover songs in 1969, the group eventually started working on original material. While recalling their own school days, group members Michael Lutz and Cub Coda put together this perfect example of snot rock.
How you doing out there? You ever seem to have one of those days where it just seems like everybody's getting on your case, from your teacher all the way down to your best girlfriend? Well, you know, I used to have them just about all the time, but I found a way to get out of it. Let me tell you about it.
Spending a week at number 9 on its way up to number 3 in Billboard and number 2 in Cashbox, that was Brownsville Station and their classic that was later covered by Motley Crue, Smoking in the Boys Room.
Universe Top 40!
Modern and Great should have reached number 8.
Now we are up to a song that is both modern and great and should have reached number 8. It is by a band that formed in 2003 in the small town of Gonzales, Louisiana, several miles south of Baton Rouge. The band was originally known as Attavoy, but after writing a song called Another Big Machine, they liked the sound of those words together so much that they decided to call themselves Another Big Machine. After playing nonstop in what they called, quote, hole-in-the-wall bars, close quote, they finally got to the stage at the House of Blues in New Orleans. That pivotal show led to a production deal with Rising Storm Records.
Revealed to me one starry night, searching softly in your eyes, I found a meaning to my life, a whole new kind of love, a brand new kind of love. I
I was before. I fell so loosely to the floor. Flood the world with tears of joy and a whole new kind of love. A brand new kind of love.
A selection that was both modern and great and should have reached number 8. That was the Louisiana-based rock act known as Another Big Machine and their initial release to alternative radio, Brand New Kind of Love.
Universe Top 40.
Now we are up to our little slice of heaven at number 7. It is a single released on Fred Foster's Monument label, a record company that we have previously mentioned while discussing the songs Everlasting Love and the worldwide number 1 hit, I Can Help, by Billy Swan. In 1960, Fred Foster signed a vocalist who had just come off 2 big hits on a subsidiary of London Records, Kathy Linden. Kathy was born in 1938 and was a precocious performer. She danced, acted, and sang as a preteen, and was discovered in 1957 by professional arranger Joe Leahy when she was just 19 years old. Leahy produced her London recordings, one called Billy, which hit number 7, and another titled Goodbye Jimmy Goodbye, which peaked at number 11. However, by 1960, she was signed to Monument with sessions to take place at Fred Foster's studio, using the Bob Moore Orchestra to back her. One of her singles for Monument was a breathy country pop song called That's What Love Is. It was projected to be a huge hit, with an advertising campaign undertaken by Monument to reintroduce Kathy to the world. However, the record simply did not take off the way that it was supposed to. While it became a regional hit in various radio markets in the South, its relative sluggishness changed the trajectory of Kathy's career. After several more attempts with Monument and a futile release on Capitol, Kathy retired from the music business by 1963. As far as we can tell, Kathy Linden is alive and well, finally returning to making music a few years ago. Sadly, her biggest backer, Monument's record founder Fred Foster, passed away a little over a year ago. Our little slice of heaven today is the song that Fred Foster believed would be a huge hit for Kathy. Unfortunately, they came up short. Nevertheless, here is the talented Kathy Linden, backed by the Bob Moore Orchestra, and That's What Love Is.
Your heart for my heart, sigh. Your kiss or my kiss, that's what love is. Your hand in my hand, your smile with my smile, your lips on my lips, that's what love is. This feeling of pride as I walk.
Our Little Slice of Heaven at number 7, that was Kathy Linden and her single with the catalog number 45-420 on Monument Records, That's What Love Is. Since our last broadcast, we have received messages from all around the world. Rainer from Hanover in northern Germany heard our 6070 kilohertz broadcast on his Sony ICF 2001D receiver. He reports 4444, a good signal, with some slight noise and fading. He told us that he liked our entertaining style of presentation. Well, Rainer, we certainly appreciate your detailed reception report and your kind words. We hope that you will be able to hear lots of entertaining programming on shortwave in the future. Hirokazu from Japan received our 6070 kHz broadcast through a web SDR from the Netherlands. He reports 35443 and states there was moderate atmospheric noise. He likes to receive information about music on shortwave. He also sent us a wave file of an air check. Well, Hirokazu, we certainly appreciate your report, the air check, and your kind comments. We wish you great reception in the future. Can you hear us? If you can, please send your questions, comments, and reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. We would love to hear from you.
This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 6.
Now we are up to our bonus hit at number 6, awarded to an act that has placed at least 6 albums into the top 40 of the album charts. Today's Boston-based new wave group certainly qualifies. Right before their second album was released, some FM disc jockeys joked with members of the Cars, telling them that their debut album was basically their greatest hits, Volume 1. While that statement was made in jest and is a mild exaggeration, it is not that far from the truth. Every song from that album received significant airplay, with the hits My Best Friend's Girl, Just What I Needed, and Good Times Roll naturally receiving the most spins. However, another song from the Cars' debut album received a major boost when it was included in the motion picture Fast Times at Ridgemont High. It is the one song on the album that Rick Ocasek did not write by himself. He co-wrote this one with keyboardist Greg Hawkes, with Greg writing the music. Rock fans everywhere have heard this song many times, and it certainly sounds like a single. We believe that it should have been released as a single by Elektra Records and should have reached number 6 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World.
Life's the same, I'm moving in stereo. Life's the same, except for my shoes. Life's the same, you're shaking like tremolo. Life's the same, it's all inside you.
Our bonus hit at number six, those were The Cars and an album track written by Rick Ocasek and Greg Hawkes, Moving in Stereo.
Number five.
My name is John McMullen and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number five, we have a unique modern rock track that featured five guitarists. One of the guitarists was the artist himself, the former leader of the legendary Memphis band Zyder Zee, Richard Orange. Also on guitar with Richard was Dave Cusar, who has played sessions with Tommy Hoen, Al Green, and that amazing singer and performer who, many years ago, was kind enough to even do some background vocals for me, Susan Marshall. The third guitarist on this single was my longtime musical co-producer and cohort, the guy who has been called the Todd Rundgren of Memphis, Don Smith. The fourth guitarist was the ever-present Jack Holder, who actually played this track for me in the listening room at Sounds Unreal Studios many years ago for the purpose of demonstrating a certain type of guitar mix. So, who was the fifth guitarist on this rocking track? None other than the founder and main writer from Cheap Trick, Rick Nielsen. As it turned out, Rick was a huge fan of that first Zyder Zee album released in 1976 on the Columbia label. According to Jack, Rick mentioned to him that he always felt like Zyder Zee should have experienced the same type of success on Album Rock Radio that was enjoyed by Cheap Trick, Utopia, and The Tubes. Well, oddly enough, here is Zyder Zee's leader with a solo track that sounds a little bit like each of the three bands that Rick Nielsen mentioned to Jack Holder. With a song that never made the top 40 but should have reached number 5 on both the mainstream and modern rock tracks charts in Billboard. That was Richard Orange and Man with No Home.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 4. Now we are up to number 4, which means that we are going to play a song that performed significantly better on the British charts than it did in the United States. In fact, in England, Ireland, and Australia, this legendary song hit number 1. In the United States, it only managed to hit number 2. But the most amazing thing about this single is that it has a huge connection to the song that we just heard at number 7, That's What Love Is by Kathy Linden. Just a moment ago, we mentioned how Kathy Linden had made a much publicized jump to Monument Records after having 2 successful singles for London. However, as we mentioned, her time at Monument was not what she or label owner Fred Foster envisioned. Of course, all record labels make and issue recordings without knowing the level of success that may or may not be ultimately achieved. But according to the sequence of the catalog numbers on the labels, the very next single released on Monument by owner Fred Foster, single 45-421, turned out to be a classic, which unexpectedly topped the British charts and was a top two hit here. It came from the recording sessions immediately after Kathy Lyndon's. The sessions took place in the same studio. The exact same studio players were on this recording, with the only differences being an additional percussionist and, of course, the lead vocalist and artist named on the label. That artist turned out to be the incomparable Roy Orbison. Dum, dum, dum.
Only the lonely.
By the Bob Moore Orchestra and singing his own song that was turned down by both Elvis Presley and the Everly Brothers, that was Roy Orbison and his first big hit, Only the Lonely.
Making changes that time and taste demand. This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 3. Now we are up to our 3 from way downtown, and today we're talking about downtown Slab Fork, West Virginia, the original hometown of rock and soul vocalist Bill Withers. After serving in the armed forces and later getting a job installing toilets in commercial jetliners, Bill Withers recorded a Grammy-winning song in 1971 with an amazing cast of characters. Along with Bill, this amazing single featured 3 members of Booker T's MGs, 1 member of Buffalo Springfield, and the Memphis Strings in sessions engineered by a future engineer on all the major ZZ Top recordings. After watching the movie The Days of Wine and Roses, Bill Withers was inspired to write the song Ain't No Sunshine. His original scratch notes were very brief. He originally intended to write additional lyrics for the part of the song where he repeats the phrase I know 26 times, but producer Booker T. Jones, the same Booker T. of Booker T. and the MGs, liked the song as it was and convinced Bill to leave it alone. In those Bill Withers sessions he was producing for Sussex Records, Booker enlisted Duck Dunn to cover the bass and Al Jackson Jr. to play the drums. Of course, those two had been in the MGs with him. Booker played keyboards and scored a string arrangement that he sent to studio wizard Terry Manning, who we mentioned a few months ago for his work with ZZ Top, The Hot Dogs, and Cargo. Manning captured that string arrangement in Memphis just as Booker T intended. And that perfectly subdued acoustic guitar was played by none other than former Buffalo Springfield member and sometimes partner of David Crosby, Stephen Stills, and Graham Nash, Neil Young.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away, I wonder this time where she's gone. Wonder if she's gone to stay. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away. And I know, hey, I'll leave the young thing alone. But ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Only darkness every day. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away. Anytime she goes away. Anytime she goes away. Anytime she goes away.
Supported by an all-star cast of musicians and winning a Grammy for R&B Record of the Year, that was Bill Withers with our three from way downtown, Ain't No Sunshine.
Alt-Universe Top 40.
Number two.
Now we are up to number two, which means that we are going to play a selection that we believe should have hit number one. Like the song that we heard back at number six, this selection has lived on through the years by virtue of its inclusion in an 80s teen movie. The Thompson Twins had no idea who Molly Ringwald was when they wrote and recorded the synthesizer-driven track, If You Were Here. Nevertheless, because John Hughes chose that song to be the accompanying music in the ending sequence of the movie 16 Candles, an entire generation has looked at this song as perhaps the greatest contribution the Thompson Twins ever made to the music world.
If you were here, I could deceive you. If you were here, you would believe. Just a span.
The breathy vocals and layered synthesizers of the Thompson Twins turned out to be perfect for that closing moment in the movie 16 Candles. We think this soundtrack song should have been released as a single by Arista Records and should have reached number one in both the United States and England. Now we are up to our Hall of Perfection track at number one, and it is a 1991 recording that became an anthem of alternative rock, Nirvana's Come As You Are. You may recall that we discussed this song last week when we played the song Life Goes On by The Damned, a track that we felt deserved a chart position of number 20 or better. Come As You Are ultimately had an amazing amount of commercial success, the kind of staying power that Life Goes On by The Damned never had. As we mentioned last week, there was also another song from 1984 that was very similar to Nirvana's huge hit. That song was 80s by Killing Joke. According to author Everett True, Nirvana and its management company, Gold Mountain, were unsure about releasing Come As You Are as a single from their 1991 studio album, Nevermind. Danny Goldberg, head of Gold Mountain, stated, quote, "We couldn't decide between Come As You Are and In Bloom. Kurt was nervous about Come As You Are because it was too similar to a Killing Joke song, but we all thought it was still the better song to go with. And he was right. Killing Joke later did complain about it," close quote. When Killing Joke's guitarist was asked about Nirvana, he replied, quote, "We were very pissed off about that, but it's obvious to everyone. We had two separate musicologists' reports. Our publisher sent their publisher a letter and they went, 'Boo, never heard of you.' But the hysterical thing about Nirvana saying they'd never heard of us was that they'd already sent us a Christmas card," close quote. However, the plot thickened when magazine writer Jack Rabid reported that Life Goes On by The Damned in 1982, quote, "featured the exact same extremely unique riff as both 80s and Come As You Are," close quote. Two members of Killing Joke denied ever having heard the song by The Damned, even though it predated theirs by 2 years. Of course, Kurt Cobain's death complicated things even worse, and the massive success of Come As You Are simply could not be denied. It was being played on radio stations everywhere, and, according to Nielsen Radio Service, received the third most airplay of any song during its decade. While we do not know if any conciliatory moves have been made toward The Damned, former Nirvana member Dave Grohl made a peace offering of sorts to Killing Joke when he covered one of their songs with his next band, the Foo Fighters. In fact, it is a selection that we are likely to play at some point in the future. Even with all that controversy, our Hall of Perfection track is the song that solidified the union between alternative rock and album-oriented rock immediately upon its release. Here is Nirvana with one of their two anthems, Come As You Are.
Yeah.
from the number one album Nevermind, that was Nirvana and their Hall of Perfection track Come As You Are, a song that was the third most played song of the decade back in the 90s. Well, that's all we have for today. Please be sure to join us next week for another installment of Alt Universe Top 40. In the meantime, to check out our older episodes, simply download the Mixcloud app and follow Alt Universe Top 40. Also, you can follow the links on our website at www.altuniversetop40.com. As we mentioned before, we would love to hear from you. Please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. For our website and email addresses, those are all lowercase and 40 is a number. Until we meet again, keep making those good-hearted changes that time and taste demand, and keep on smiling through the static.
Alt Universe Top 40!